Well, do turn then to today's Bible passage, which is from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew's account of Jesus' life, Matthew chapter 6, just two verses, verses 22 to 33. This is Jesus speaking. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Ray.
Well, thank you, Simon. Lovely to be back here again. Good to see you all here. If you could just have that little sheet open in front of you as we look at this passage that is written on the inside on the left. Helen Keller was 19 months old when she contracted an illness that left her blind, deaf, and dumb. When she was just 6 years old, she began learning to speak by pressing her fingers onto her throat so she could hear the vibrations. She learned to read and write in Braille and eventually graduated from an American university. Amazingly, she went on to found the Helen Keller Home for Blind Children, and she even toured the world giving lectures. She was once asked this question: can you think of anything worse than being blind? She replied, yes, to be able to see and have no vision. To be able to see and yet have no vision. I'm sure many of you have seen the reality TV show The Apprentice. Apparently the 10th series is scheduled to be broadcast this autumn. For those of you who perhaps have never seen it, a group of highly ambitious young businessmen and women compete for the chance to work alongside British business magnate Lord Alan Sugar. Well, I want to suggest to you that according to the Bible, it is possible to be just like one of those business savvy candidates on that show. That is, a person with high aspirations, clear vision, and a good business brain, yet also to lack a truly worthwhile ambition in this life. That is, it is possible to be a great success in the eyes of those around you, and yet to be a complete failure in the eyes of the one person who truly matters. This afternoon, the question I want to address is this: what is your ambition in this life? What is your ambition in this life? Someone asks this question: what is the chief and highest end of men and women like those of us here this afternoon? Well, the answer that is given is based upon the Bible, and it is this: a man or woman's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy Him, that is, God, forever. True security, I suggested last week if you were here, is not found in great wealth or financial security, but rather in knowing God, being known by God, and enjoying your relationship with Him, both now and into eternity forever. Now, this second question in our series is very much related to the first one. Of course, your ambition in life is very much tied up with your vision for yourself and or what it means to be successful here and now. Now, throughout Matthew chapters 6, verses 19 to 24, Jesus, who's the speaker, sets before us two alternatives. In verses 19 to 21 that we looked at last week, he says, you can either put your security in earthly things that will not last, or in heavenly things that will. In verse 24, which comes after the passage we're going to look at today, he says, you can either serve God or money, but you can't do both. In verses 22 and 23 that Simon read for us a few moments ago and that we're looking at today, I think Jesus is saying that your ambition in this life will either be filled with light, or your ambitions will be filled with darkness. Look with me at verse 22. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? In these verses, Jesus uses a metaphor. A metaphor is basically a striking comparison between two things that would be, well, ridiculous if you took it literally. In verse 22 and 23, Jesus compares or likens my life and your life to a dark room with a lamp in it. You and I are to imagine that our lives are like a pitch black room that has this one source of light shining out into the darkness. If the lamp in that room is good or healthy, then the whole room obviously will be filled with this light. But if, on the other hand, the lamp is unhealthy or bad, for whatever reason, verse 23, that room is going to be full of darkness, isn't it? If the one source of light in an otherwise pitch black room is darkness itself, then verse 23, will the darkness in that room not be great? Well, of course, the answer is, well, yes, it will be. Verse 23, if then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Well, in a similar way, Jesus is saying, our eyes, yours and mine, are like windows that allow light into an otherwise otherwise dark bodies. Our bodies would be full of darkness, but for our eyes that act as windows that let in light. In other words, for you and I to have lives full of light, our eyes, our vision, needs to be healthy or good. Since our bodies, yours and mine, find direction in life, for good or for bad, through the light or the vision given to us by our eyes. Hence, verse 22 begins with these words, the eye is the lamp of the body. So can you see that the emphasis in these verses, verse 22 and 23, is placed upon the eyes or the lamps of your body? It's placed on whether they are healthy or unhealthy, whether they are good or bad. Now, in verses 19 to 21, Jesus has been very concerned about your heart attitude and my heart attitude towards the assets, the wealth, and the material things that we own. You see, in and of themselves, many of these things in life are neither good nor bad, healthy or unhealthy. A knife, for example, is a neutral object. Whether it is good or bad very much depends upon whether it's been wielded by a Jamie Oliver on one of his cookery programs or a hooligan looking for trouble at a Premiership football match, doesn't it? I saw a poster for, I think it was the Nokia N64 mobile phone some years ago now, and the caption next to the phone got my attention. It read as follows: it's not just a cell phone, it's who you are. No, it's just a cell phone. In other words, a person is not defined by the things they have. With Apple releasing its iPhone 6 last week, what they want, of course, is for you and I to think that our ambition in life needs to be, I need that iPhone 6. They want to plant in our minds a vision that will make their ambitions for their company a reality. They want you and me to think, if I can afford the iPhone, then I must be successful. Apparently, Apple received a record 4 million first-day pre-orders for the iPhone 6, with 10 million being sold on the opening weekend. It is clear where many people's ambition lay, at least as far as the iPhone 6 is concerned. But driving that car, working for that company, living in that neighborhood, marrying that particular person, says to those around us, I am successful. Look at me. I am achieving my ambitions in this life. But you see, it's interesting that in the Bible, the I and the heart are pretty much interchangeable. For example, the Bible poet, in praying to God, records these words: incline my heart to your testimonies and not selfish gain. Turn my eyes from looking at worthless things. Do you see how the writer is using heart and eyes as if they are the same thing? In other words, the spiritually blind person in the Bible is often the person who cannot see or understand with the heart. In the Old Testament book of Proverbs, a father gives his son some advice about how to avoid the snare of the prostitute or the wayward wife with these words: my son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways. According to the Bible, in other words, the issues of this life proceed from out of the heart, the core of our being. That is our desires, our longings, our plans, our decisions, our ambitions, and our vision for a better life flows out of our hearts. Here in Matthew 6, verses 22 and 23, Jesus is saying the same thing, but here he uses a metaphor about the eye instead of the heart to explain the idea. Just as the heart directs the whole of a person's life, so the eyes affect the whole body. The eye affects the whole direction or course of a person's life, the ambition in life, if you like, or their vision concerning where they want to go in life. Your life, my life, can and will be filled with either darkness or with light, depending on whether our eyes are healthy or unhealthy, whether our vision is good or bad, whether our ambitions are good, healthy ambitions or not. So the question is, what does it mean to have healthy or unhealthy eyes? Good or bad vision? Or a good or bad ambition in life? Well, the word unhealthy or good in these verses also means something like singleness of purpose or undivided loyalty. That's the kind of idea behind the word unhealthy in your verses. In other words, the good or healthy-eyed person then is the person who has undivided loyalty or singleness of purpose that is fixed or focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Such a person's life will be filled with light because they will be motivated in all they do by a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So they will have godly ambitions. Conversely, the person with unhealthy eyes will have their eyes fixed or focused upon mainly worldly or earthly selfish ambitions. Their vision for a better life will be limited to this world only. They may deceive themselves into thinking they have lives full of light here and now, but one day the darkness in them will be seen for what it is. That's what Jesus warns. As they stand in front of the judgment seat of God to give an account of their poor spiritual vision and ambitions that were confined to this earth alone, that left them with no time for relationship with God himself, he will turn and say to them some words recorded for us in a story Jesus told in Luke 12. Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you've prepared, well, whose will they be? There is an old Italian proverb that captures very well what many people who are driven by selfish and worldly ambition fail to understand, much like the rich fool in the story told by Jesus in Luke 12. It's this: the last coat a man wears has no pockets in it. The reason being that none of us can take any of the stuff we have accumulated in this life with us when we die. Hence, we have no need for pockets. And anyway, how much can you fit into a few small pockets? A vicar was asked at a funeral, how much did she leave, vicar? He replied, she left everything. They always do. Your vision or ambition in life may be to have a high standard of living that is full of all sorts of material things. But can I say, not only can't you take them with you, but often with high standards of living, people with a high standard of living often have a poor quality of life. They have every time-saving gadget on the market, and yet are always complaining that there aren't enough hours in the day. You know that feeling? They have sophisticated means of communicating with people on the other side of the world, whether via Skype, FaceTime, email, Twitter, or conference calling, but they cannot find the time to communicate meaningfully with those closest to them. They have second homes, but not enough hours in which to enjoy being in their first one. Apparently, one of the fastest growing areas for business executives is companies providing them with concierge services or lifestyle managers. These are people who will basically organize your personal life for you. They will do anything from arranging your children's birthday parties to writing a greeting card with reads, "Sorry, I can't be there to tuck you in tonight." Apparently, you can even get dental treatment or a massage, all without leaving your workstation. I read recently of a businessman who owned a Mediterranean villa with a huge swimming pool and rooms big enough to get lost in. Although he was only 40 years of age, he had helped to create a multi-million pound empire, which included property and publishing and franchising. He had a life-changing experience, however, which involved becoming very ill and suddenly, for the first time in his life, having to face up to the fact that he was not invulnerable like in the business world. Being a great businessman could not protect him from death. After going through this experience, he said this: "What I really crave now is not success. I have that. I know it may sound trite, but I want to make a difference." You see, some people have a clear vision of what they want to become in life. They chase their dream and fulfill their ambitions, only to find that life at the top is not only lonely, but unsatisfying. One internationally known speaker on business and family issues put it this way: "I meet men and women every day, successful men and women, who have often achieved beyond their wildest dreams. Yet they would give all they possess if only they could change the past. So what is their great regret? Is it that they could have been more effective salespeople, received wider acclaim for their academic papers, or pushed harder to get that promotion? Rarely. No. The regret is almost always in the area of relationships." Jesus says such people have got their ambitions all wrong. Vincent Foster was one of the most powerful lawyers in the world. He was deputy counsel to former US President Bill Clinton. One day he gave a lecture to an auditorium packed full of students, desperate to hear from the man whose success they all wanted to emulate. Part of his speech included the following: "3 weeks ago, my wife, Lisa, and I celebrated our 25th wedding anniversary. She has been my editor, my jury consultant, and my best friend. I wish for all of you a Lisa. Balance wisely your professional life and your family life. God only allows us so many opportunities with our children to read a story, go fishing, play catch, and say our prayers together. Try not to miss one of them. The office can wait." 6 weeks later, he was dead. The verdict of all five investigations: suicide. That is what the pressure can be like having reached the top of your profession. Which reminds me of a quote from Hollywood actor and funny man Jim Carrey, who said this: "I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer." Some people's ambitions are such that they are in danger of ruining their relationships, but more importantly, and missing out on the most important relationship of all, knowing God and being known by him and enjoying relationship with him both now and into eternity. They're so busy chasing their dreams that they have no time to surrender their lives to the Lord Jesus, who loves them and died for them in order to make relationship with God possible for them. They have allowed the light inside to go out and have, verse 23, become engulfed by the darkness. By contrast, the person who has embraced Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior, and there are a number of them here today, store up for themselves treasure in heaven. Such a person will have good or healthy spiritual eyesight. They will have vision that is full of light because they will have godly ambitions and a godly or spiritual vision in terms of where they want to go in life and what's most important in life. But what would that look like in practice? Well, let me give you one example. John Lang was a young man who was earning a good salary from the family construction business. He bought a modest looking home and he lived in the same home for the rest of his life. He worked out that he could survive comfortably on a third of his income. So he saved half of what was left and gave the rest away to Christians who told other people about the Lord Jesus Christ. After a while, he gave all he earned away because his savings alone were enough to live on. In 1979, when he died, his personal fortune amounted to only a few pounds. Yet to this day, the money he left in his trust fund is being used to support those who tell other people about Jesus all over the world. Now that is what the Bible would call true vision, a worthwhile ambition to have and to work towards. You see, John Lang had the vision and ambition to invest in that which will last into all eternity. Instead of trying to take all his money with him, he invested it into heaven. I reckon he's going to get a great return on his money. Because his life, verse 22, was full of light. A great Christian once said, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." So as I close, can I ask you again, what is your ambition in this life? Do you have the vision to be a true success in this world and in God's eyes? Or are you just going with the crowd here in our great city while hoping not to be disappointed when you get to the top, whatever that means for you personally? Has your vision or ambition become flooded with darkness? Has your spiritual vision dimmed and has worldly ambition taken you over? If you were to ask yourself the question, what is my ambition in this life? If it revolves around not being able to take your eyes off the material things of this world because you've come to believe that in them is your satisfaction and your security, then ask yourself this question: how is my heart doing? What has happened to my spiritual vision? Do I even have a vision that takes into consideration the spiritual dimension of my existence? Be careful that you are not allowing yourself to be engulfed by the darkness within. But perhaps you're not a Christian here today. Well, I want to say to you, it would be a shame, wouldn't it, if you worked so hard to get to the top only to feel empty and unsatisfied when you get there, with all your relationships in pieces, in ruins. If you want a vision or an ambition that offers significance, then you need to look to the Lord Jesus. Alfie, Simon, Claire, myself, and maybe the friend you came with, I'm sure we'll be delighted to help you to understand better how that can happen. They also run a course here called Christianity Explored. It's a great way to just get to know more about what it means to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd highly recommend you think about joining the course if you haven't already. I'm going to end there. Please stick around and chat and continue talking. I'm not going anywhere. If you want to ask me a question, I'd love to chat with you. Thanks very much for listening.